Our scripture for today comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Paul here talks about his weakness, his thorn in the flesh, but he says that he is strong because he trusts in the strength of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. Let's look up at verse 8 first. He says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful today for your love to us, for your many blessings of life. We just pray, God, that in this service, the name of Jesus Christ would be exalted by everything that we say and do. We thank you for the Sunday school hour and the lessons that were presented there, for the lessons, for the truths that were learned. We thank you for the worship team, for the special in song, and for the prayers, God, that went forth. And we just pray, God, that you would use it all for your honor and for your glory. And we just pray just now, God, that we as Christians would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, and Lord, to help us to be the kind of people that you'd want us to be. A strong church, God, is very necessary in today's world, but Lord, a church will not be any stronger than some of its members. And so we pray, God, that every person here would realize their responsibility and do their part in making this church and all churches strong for you. For we ask in the name of the Lord and for his sake. Amen. Now, one of the things that God desires most, and one of the things that the world needs most, is for the church to be strong and effective. Now, when I say the church, I mean every church, of every denomination, of every size, of every location. We need to be strong in all areas. We need to be effective in every possible area, because of the condition of today's world. We need to be strong in faith. We need to be strong in commitment. We need to be strong in preaching and teaching and everything that we possibly do. Because only a strong church can do the things that God wants it to do. Only a strong and effective church can make an impact upon the world. Only a strong church can win the lost to Jesus Christ and effectively tell the world about their need of Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Now, a strong church is also very important because it will make every aspect of our society better. It will make the world in which we live a safer world, and certainly that would be a good thing. It would make our society better for all of us in that we would have more peace and more joy and more happiness. A strong church would produce stronger families and stronger marriages. So we would all benefit. The kingdom of God would benefit, and we would all benefit. The entire world would benefit from a very strong church. Now, first of all, what makes a strong church? What makes a strong a church have strength and effectiveness? Well, it is not some of the things that some people think, that a strong church is necessary to make it up. Some people have the idea, for instance, that a strong church always has to be a big church, a large church with a large attendance. And of course, we all desire more people. That is, every church desires that. But just because a church has a large attendance, just because it has many members and its parking lot is full, its sanctuary is full, does not always mean that it has strength, that it has spiritual strength. It does not mean that it's teaching and preaching and reaching people the way that God would have it to. And conversely, some churches are small, but even though they're small, they can be effective, they can be very strong indeed. So Numbers does not tell us the actual strength, the spiritual strength of a church. We know this. We have seen in our world in recent years some very strong members of the religious community, some very large churches that have large memberships, some have TV ministries and everything. Some of them were weak because, and they ultimately fell like a house of cards because they were not strong in the basic things of God. They were not strong in their preaching and teaching and their ministries. Some preached a social gospel, some preached a prosperity gospel, some preached a feel-good gospel, and of course, God does not honor things like this. So just because a church is large does not mean that it's strong. Second of all, some people feel that a strong church always has a big budget. They have a lot of monetary income. And of course, that is always good to be financially sound, to be financially strong, because we can give to missions, we can give to other charitable causes, and of course the kingdom of God is benefited when we do this. But many churches do not have strong budgets, but they're still strong in their spiritual ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some would say that a strong church is one that has a beautiful building that looks very impressive, and people notice it when they drive by on the street. And again, that's commendable. That's good that we have that. We've built a beautiful building here, which I'm proud of, and I know that you are too. But just because a church has a large building, an impressive building, does not mean that it's strong. I'm told that throughout Europe, there are many beautiful cathedrals there, and you've seen pictures of them. I have as well. And some of them are just lovely to look at. They have beautiful stained glass, and all these other features like this. But they have very few people in attendance. They're winning virtually none to the Lord. And I would say that is not a strong church. Fourthly, some people feel that a strong church is one that has members that are leaders of the community, strong people in the community. And that's always good to have as well, strong leadership. But that in itself does not make a strong church. But point number two is this. A strong church is strong when it has certain ingredients that God said are very necessary to give it strength, to give it effectiveness. First of all, a strong church is one that has genuine love. Love is a priority for them. Love is something that is very strong within that church. There must be strong love for God Himself. And of course, the Bible asked this. Jesus asked this question when He was asked, what is the first commandment? What's the most important commandment? He said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment," or "this is the one that I want you to obey the most. You are to love God." And a strong church is one that's strong in its love for God. And if we love God, we're going to keep His commandments. We're going to do those things that He tells us to do. We're going to be a strong church because we have obeyed Him and because we love Him with all of our hearts. Loving God needs to be first and foremost in our life. The first two commandments, "Thou shalt have no other God before me, and thou shalt not make in thyself any graven image or anything like God." And we think of that, violating the first two commandments, we think of that as people who worship idols. But I'll guarantee you this, that there are a lot of people in America today who do not put God first. They have something else that's first in their life. They do not love Him first and foremost, and therefore that leads to weakness in our society. It leads to weakness in the church when we claim to love the Lord and we don't love Him as much as we should. There also, in a strong church, not only there must be a strong love for God Himself, but we must have a strong love for each other. Jesus said, "A new commandment that I give you, that you love one another even as much as I have loved you." Now you think about that degree. Now you know God loves every one of us, even though He knows everything about us. He knows every shortcoming that we have, every flaw, every failure. everything. He sees us warts and all. But in spite of all that, God loves us. But do we love each other as much as we should? Do we love each other as much as Christ loved the church? And certainly, you know, sometimes Christians can be critical of each other. You know, there's a saying that says this, familiarity leads to contempt, and sometimes it does, even within Christian circles. We look at each other and we say, yeah, that person's pretty good, they do attend church, but they've got this fault, or they got that fault. Well, I'm not saying that you should take up for people and their faults and their shortcomings, but you must love them anyway. And you know, one of the things that makes for strong marriages and one of the things that makes for strong churches and strong relationships is if we genuinely love each other to the point that we overlook or are willing to not concentrate on a person's faults and shortcomings, that is what God requires of every one of us. Now, love for others is so important that the Bible says this: if we say that we love God and we don't love other people, we really don't love God in the first place. So we must, if we say that we love God, we must love other people even as much as we love ourselves. And it's by loving each other that we make a great statement to the world. You know, one of one of the strengths that the early church had was they loved each other. They cared for each other. They ministered to each other. They were aware of each other's problems. They encouraged each other. And we as a church today must do those very same things to make a strong church. One of the statements that was made about the early church was this: they have a very strong love for each other indeed. Now, Jesus spoke about a church in the book of Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. And he said, I have somewhat against you because you have left or you have lost your first love. So loving each other, loving a very strong love for God and a very strong love for each other and a commitment to each other and helping each other and bearing each other's burdens and problems and being sensitive to other people, that will make a strong and effective church. A church where there's a lot of love brings unity. And when there is unity, there is strength. When a church does not have a lot of love, there is disunity, and that brings weakness. So let's make sure that we love each other and that we love God with all of our heart and we love each other as much as we love ourselves. And we must have not only a strong love, it must not only be for God and for each other, our love must reach out to the community. We must love people out there in our community, in our world. And is everybody going to look like us? Is everybody going to think like us? Is everybody going to be a nice person out there? Can we just pick and choose who we want to love? No, we can't. We've got to love everybody. We've got to love them as much as we love our own selves. And that is not always easy to do, but it always produces strength. It always produces the kind of church that God wants us to have, strong and effective indeed. Second of all, a church to be strong must do this as well. We must be true to biblical teachings. We must be strong in biblical doctrines. Now, Paul told Timothy this. He said, preach the word. In other words, he was a preacher. He was a pastor of a church. But he said this: strong in the word of God. Because he said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and godliness, because he says this, for there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will turn away from the truth and be turned to fables. So he's saying this: I want you to be strong in the Word of God. I want you to be very strong. And you know, it's one of the responsibilities of the church today is to stand very strong for biblical teachings. Because we have no right to say to the world, we have no right to say to other people, do this because I think it's best for you. We have no right to say, because our church teaches this, you should do it. And that's a good thing, all right. But we can't, by the authority, except the Word of God, say, you must do this because God has said in His Word, this is the truth. And let's remember this, that the Bible is under attack today just like the church is, just like the name of Jesus and the name of God is. All spiritual things are under attack, and the Word of God is under attack, and it would behoove us as Christians to be just as strong in the Word of God as we possibly can, to preach it, to teach it, to live it, to show the lost and dying world that God has said it, and we believe it, and that settles it. So we must be strong in God's Word, because it's God's Word that will not return unto Him void. It's God's Word that gives us encouragement. It's God's Word that contains His promises. It's God's Word that contains the love of God. And the message of this, that God says this, though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're crimson, like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is a loving God. He says, let's come and reason together, and therefore let's sit down and talk about this. You have forgiveness, you have salvation, you have eternal life if you will simply believe in me. So a church that's strong, a church that's effective, that's what we want for all churches, and certainly we want it for ours. It must be one who places a priority on God's Word, who places a priority on loving each other. And then thirdly, a strong church is one that emphasizes very greatly the importance of prayer. Now again, when you look at the church as its strongest, when it was the most effective, you have to look in the book of Acts. That church was a model church. That church was an example of what God wants every church to be. And one of their main priorities, one of the things that they spent a lot of time doing, was praying. And that made that church effective. That made that church strong. That made that church able to stand against some of the worst issues that a church could possibly face, some of the worst problems that a church could face, yet they remained strong and effective because they were people who spent a lot of time and put a great deal of emphasis on prayer. Now, they overcame a lot of handicaps. They overcame a lot of difficulties in order to be the church that God wanted them to be. For instance, they were opposed by both the Jewish leaders and the Roman Empire. In other words, all the government officials, all the religious officials, was in total opposition to the early church, if you can imagine. As a matter of fact, when Peter and John and others began to preach, you know, the name of Jesus Christ, the Jewish leaders came and warned them and said, now listen, you have been teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, and we want you to stop this right now, because you're going to bring His blood on our hands. The world is going to blame us, and we cannot stand this, so don't you preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. What did they do? Did they give in to that pressure? Did they say, well, okay, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to upset anybody, especially you. No, they said, listen, after praying about this, we have reached this conclusion. We can't help but teach and preach the things that the Lord has told us to preach. And therefore, whether it seems right unto you or not, we're going to preach and teach Jesus Christ, because that is our responsibility indeed. So they remained strong. They persevered. They endured in spite of opposition, in spite of persecution, in spite of being put into jail, in spite of being beaten very severely, in spite of the fact that many of them lost their very lives. Stephen was the first Christian martyr. But other people followed very shortly after that. They lost their lives because they preached and taught Jesus Christ indeed. And for our church to be effective, we're going to have to be in prayer just like they were, because prayer was what gave them their strength. Prayer was what gave them their boldness. Prayer was what was the vital source for them in order to do the things that they were able to do. Now, the Bible says that because they did pray, that thousands of people were saved. Now, can you imagine that? 120 saved. They were in the upper room. And then 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. And then 5,000 were saved a few days later. And then they began to just stop counting numbers. And then multitudes, the Bible says, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because this was a strong and effective church. And one of the great things that made it so strong and so effective was that their emphasis on prayer. They saw miracles happen. They saw dead people arise to life. They saw lives turned around. They saw people who were steeped in sin give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. They saw people healed because prayer was made without ceasing. Matter of fact, Peter was arrested once and was put into jail. As a matter of fact, in the most secure place of the jail. But the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing by the church. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared in that jail where Peter was. And Peter was asleep, by the way. Even though there was a death sentence upon him, they were going to execute him the next day. Peter was asleep that night. That's how much trust he had in God. And because the church had prayed, an angel came and released him from that prison. And he appeared to that place where they were praying. Now, do we want our church to make an impact upon this community? Do we want to see people saved? Do we want to see lives changed? Do we want to see marriage strengthened? Do we want to see families that are solid? Do we want to see victories around our altars? All these things can happen if we'll pray. Someone has put it like this. It says, God has given us every resource that we need to be an effective and a strong church if we will only trust in Him and obey Him for all these things. So I say to you that the early church was very strong because they believed in the power of prayer. And they considered this an honor to talk with God, and because they enjoyed God's blessings as well. And God has promised us. He says this, "Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you." Now, you know, don't just use God like that. Don't just pray when you get into trouble, but it is nice to know when we have trouble, when we have difficulty, when things don't go our way, that we have a God in heaven who cares for us, and we can call out to Him and He will hear us, and in many cases He will deliver us from harm's way indeed. So it's an honor to call upon God. It's a privilege to call upon God. We need His strength. We need His power. When Ronald Reagan was president back in the 80s, there was a man named Ronald Cooper who was president of a small Christian college in New York. And Mr. Cooper was invited to a luncheon at the White House. And of course, he was very honored to do this. And he went to this dinner, and he was able to meet the vice president and the president as well and actually talk with them. And he was relating this experience, after it was over, he was relating this experience to the students of this Christian college. And he said, "When I was in Washington, D.C. recently," he said, "I sat at the table with the president and the vice president and other people as well." But he said, "I actually got to talk quite a while because the vice president was close to me. I actually got carried on in conversation with the vice president of the United States." He said, "That was quite an honor." And he said, I actually got to speak briefly with Ronald Reagan himself. And that had to have been a thrill. I would have liked to have done that, and I'm sure that most of us would have. But he said, "Even though I spoke with the vice president, and that was an honor, even though I spoke with the president, that was an honor," he said, "guess what?" He said, "I had a greater honor this morning because I spoke with God Himself." And isn't that true? Isn't that true? Isn't that the power of prayer is? And that what? It's an honor to speak to God, to know He's a God of love. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of help. And He can strengthen our church. He can make our church effective to what it needs to be indeed. So a strong church and an effective church is one that loves each other. They teach the Bible and they teach the importance of prayer. Fourthly, a strong church is one that has a very clear vision. And it's important that a church, that a Christian have a vision. The Bible said without vision, people perish. And we need to have a very clear vision of where we are, where we want to go. Our plan, we need to have a plan. We need to have what we're going to do a year from now and 2 years from now and all these other things. We need to have a plan because God can use those things. We must have a vision for the world out there that's lost without Jesus Christ. We must have a vision for our community out there because people in this community, people all around us, people that we see each and every day in the grocery store and other places, these people are suffering. Many of them are lost without God. Many of them are suffering in their marriages and in any other way. And we need to reach them for Jesus Christ. We need to see them as the Lord sees them. You know, too many times we forget the fact that Jesus said this, the fields are white unto harvest. In other words, he said, there's a lot of lost people out there. There's a lot of suffering and hurting people out there. And there are people out there who are hurting today. And if we don't help them, who is going to help them? If we don't give them the message of Jesus Christ, they're not going to hear it in school. They're not going to hear it on TV. They're not going to hear it out there in the world. It is our responsibility. The fields are white unto harvest. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And we need to reach the point that we see beyond ourselves. We need to reach out to a lost and dying community. We need to be a church that loves people. We need to be a church that has a vision. God, these people are out there. How can we reach them? How can we minister to them? And we do make efforts to reach people, but I think that we can do even more. You know, if we're not careful, we'll settle for mediocrity. And a church is in real trouble if we ever get to the point that we're satisfied with what we've done in the past. You know, that's a dangerous place. That is a dangerous place. The Bible says if you're lukewarm, you're really in trouble. God wants us on fire for Him. God wants us committed to Him. God wants a church that's strong and effective, that's reaching out to other people, that's presenting them the gospel, that loves them in a very special way, that tries to minister to their needs in every possible way that they can. And if we do this, God will bless us indeed. Thirdly, to be a strong and effective church, we need the Holy Trinity. We need the Holy Trinity. And when I say that, I mean we need God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, to make a church strong and effective will require our effort. It will require planning, it will require vision, it will require everything that we can possibly do, but we can't do it in our own strength, we can't do it in our own energy or our own wisdom. We'll need something much more. We'll need the power of God Himself. Only God can speak to hearts. Only Christ can really love people enough to reach them. Only the Holy Spirit can convict a sinner's heart. But we must do our part. We must rely upon God. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, I rely upon the Lord. I'm weak. I've got a thorn in the flesh. And by the way, he asked the Lord on three different occasions, God, take this infirmity away from me. And God said, I will not take it away from you, but I will give you the grace in order to bear it, that you might be effective for me. I want you to trust in me first and foremost, not your own strength. We need God's wisdom. We need God's power. We need God's strength. Without it, we will always fail. Now, Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this. He said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? And they were leaders of the church at various times. Paul was, preeminent there for a while, and then Apollos came in and did his work and so forth. But he said, listen, don't place your trust, don't place your hope or your confidence primarily in me. He said, you've got to have it in much greater than us. He said, listen, he said, who are we? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? He said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is one that is making the increase. We're simply co-workers with God. And we're co-workers with God too. We must make every effort. We must make every plan. We must have vision. We must cast a vision. We must fulfill our purpose. But most of all, we depend upon the omnipotent power of God Himself. Only He can do it. It's by His strength. It's by His ability, not our own. And we're to praise Him. Billy Graham, the noted evangelist. Now, of course, God has used Billy Graham. He's still alive today. Now, he's, of course, retired. But God has used Billy Graham in a great way, and I appreciate Billy Graham's ministry down through the years and the unique, gifts that God gave to him. But anyway, there was a dinner given once in his honor, and a lot of important people were there from the religious community. A lot of leaders there were from the religious community, and many from the business world, eminent people from the business world, and politicians. And that night they just praised Billy Graham for the things that he had done for the thousands and that he had preached and ministered to. And finally it was time for Billy Graham to get up and speak, and he said this. He quoted from Isaiah. He said, God will not share His glory with another. He said, God is the one that deserves the honor. God is the one that deserves the glory. And we need God. We must depend upon Him, but He will give us strength if we'll only honor Him, if we will only praise Him. Then, of course, to be a strong, effective church, we need Jesus Christ the Son. And Paul, in our scripture for today, talked about his weaknesses, I said a moment ago. He said, I'm weak. There are things that I cannot do. He had a checkered past. He had done things in his past that he was not ashamed of, but God had forgiven him. And he said, I have my limitations. Though he was a very educated and a very wise person, he said, I must depend and I must get my strength from Jesus Christ. And we must as well, because when we depend upon Him, even though we are weak, He is strong. Where's our faith? In the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus the world needs today. It's His love. It's His salvation. It's His forgiveness. Only in the name of Jesus Christ is there salvation. Only in the name of Jesus Christ is there hope. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's through Christ. So we need Christ. We need God. We need Christ to depend upon Him. And then, of course, we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus was about to go away, as the Bible tells us this, and as Matthew closes out, that gospel closes out, and then the Acts begins to happen, the birth of the church and so forth. But just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he charged his disciples. He gave them their responsibility. And he's basically saying this. I have lived in this world. I have taught for 3 years. I have died upon the cross. I have arisen on the third day, just like I said I would do. But now it's time for me to ascend into heaven to go back to my heavenly Father. And I'm sure they were very distressed with this. They naturally would have been, as natural human beings. And then Jesus said, but though my ministry is over, yours is just beginning. I want you to go and teach and preach to an entire world. I want you to go and preach, to everyone, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. I want you to tell them about my love and my salvation that I have provided. And they probably thought, how in the world are we going to do this? We're just a few people. We're just 120 at first, and that's all they were. How are we going to do this? And Jesus said, first of all, I want you to go and tarry in the upper room. I want you to go there and pray until you be endued with power from on high, and then you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. They weren't strong by themselves. They weren't wise enough. They didn't have the ability or the strength by themselves, but because they relied upon the power of the Holy Spirit and God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, they were so effective indeed. Let's remember that God has given us His Son. Jesus Christ has given us His life. The Holy Spirit has given us His power and His gifts. Now it's up to us to fulfill our responsibilities to make the church strong and effective. And then number four, for a church to be strong and effective, every member must realize they have a responsibility. We must be strong individually. We must be committed to God. We must be the sort of people that God would want us to be. There is strength when we're unified. There's strength when we love God. But a church cannot be any stronger than some of its weakest members. We need to be so committed to God that we're doing everything that we possibly can to make Keystone Church strong and effective. That's God's desire. That's what God wants. And that's what the world needs. That's what our community needs, for us to be strong and effective, that we might carry the message of God's love, God's salvation, God's strength to a lost and dying world. God wants to bless us. Let's make sure that we're in the place that He can bless us, that He can make us strong individually and strong collectively so that the message of salvation gets out to the world today. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that You'd bless us in every possible way. We know that, God, that we can't be strong and effective by ourselves. We're not strong and effective because the strength of our numbers or our building or, Lord, our budget or anything like this. We're only strong when we look to You. When we have genuine love for You, when we have genuine love for others, when we have love for a lost and dying world, when we have a clear vision, when we make prayer our priority, God, then we're strong. So we pray, God, that we as a church and we as individuals would lean upon the power of God the Father, of Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit so that we might, God, accomplish our mission to be everything that You'd want us to be. May we be strong in our preaching. May we be strong in our teaching. May we be strong in our biblical beliefs. But make us most of all strong because we love You. Bless us in every possible way. In Christ's name we pray it. For His sake. Amen.